We're doing Hanukkah today.
Oh, right.
Yes, do you
can
have
we do
a,
that?
I'd like to dedicate the Sechusah this year for the refuah of Rav Yehuda ben Rivka Leah, Rabbi Kellermer of the Youngers of West Hampstead. Sure, refuah shleima.
Tamar.
What?
Do you know how it's...
I don't know what it says, current status is. I don't know.
So Tamar Adina Moskowitz, in Baltimore, Tamar Adina Bastena Shalamis.
Yes, okay. Refuah shleima for her also. So, Shachal Yisrael.
Amen.
One of the three things that history says that the Yevonim legislated against was Rosh Chodesh, and that's something that's a little bit strange at first glance. First and foremost, because they had the same type of calendar. They also had a lunisolar calendar like we do. Lunar months added an extra month, every third year, to keep it balanced. This thing about counting by the solar calendar, that's a Roman thing that happened later in history. What they had against, Kiddush HaChodesh. And so it is true to say that that if you abolish Kiddush HaChodesh, then you in effect abolish the Yomim Tovim. That is correct. Right, but if that was their end, so let them just speak directly, as we say, tzum zach, to the point, and abolish Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So they took on Rosh Chodesh. That's something that really needs to be understood, what their hang-up was about Rosh Chodesh. but the truth is, there's obviously something more to Rosh Chodesh than what meets the eye, right? Because it is the very first mitzvah we got as a nation. Everyone knows the observation that Rashi makes, very first Rashi in the Torah, right? Lo yatzich l'Torah l'atchil elo me'acharis elachem, shu mitzvah yishon shitzdavu b'Yisrael. The Torah should have started, actually, from HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Because it's the first nation we got, first mitzvah, I meant to say, that we got as a nation. So the Torah opened up with Bereishis Bara and also Bereishis because, to give us claim to Eretz Yisrael. But that's an amazing thing, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to Am Yisrael and explaining that we're done with this pagan nonsense. This stuff is all baloney, and this is, I've got the real stuff for you, and it all starts with, we have a calendar. It's got to be something deeper about Rosh Chodesh if it's the very first mitzvah we got as a people. That's really where the Torah should have started from. Now, everyone knows the famous Gemara in Chulin, that the whole story of Rosh Chodesh in effect really starts from the fourth day of creation. How so? So Gemara tells us that that originally the sun and the moon were the same size. And the moon complained, Ein shnei melachim mishamshim bekesar echad, right? Two kings can't be under the same crown. Right, so the Baruch Hashem says, fine, l'chi mati es atzmech. Alright, you're the one who raised the problem. You, shrink yourself. Mati es atzmech. And then the moon complains bitterly and said, but, I said something that makes sense, and I'm being penalized. And the Baruch Hashem gives it a whole series of consolations. Tzadikim will be called by you. Because even though you're the Mor HaKatan, but Yaakov is also called B'no HaKatan. Tzadikim are called by you. All types of a whole slew of consolations. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, still feels bad about it. And and that Medrash ends off that the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh is called, you know, ends off the pasuk says, bring it, you know, chatas l'Hashem, right? A sin offering, so the pasuk can be read similarly, a sin offering for God, as in to atone for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, haviu alai kapara al shemi'atati et hayarech. You know, bring for me, you know, a chatas, a korban, you know, to be mechaper for me, that I mitigated the moon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels bad about it. And the korban musaf of Rosh Chodesh, you know, alludes to that. As a kapar for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have to understand, you know, the basic message behind that dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the moon. You know, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels bad about it, just don't do it. So now the Gemara says, it's a Medrash Rabbah I meant to say. The Pasuk, very first, second Pasuk in Bereishis, Varetz Haisa Tov Vavo V'choshech Al Pnei Tahom. So, Tohu is Golos Bavel, Israel Babylonian exile, because the Navi says, referring to the destruction that the Babylonians did, Raisi Esarts Vihine Tohu. They've laid the ground desolate. Vavohu is Golus Madai, as it brings Uriah from the Pasuk in the Megillah. Vayavhilu, Lahavias Haman. They rush to bring Haman, so that's Vavohu. So that's, you know, Golus, you know, Madai. And then Choshech, right? Zu Yavan. Choshech is Golus Yavan. Shehechshicha Einehem Shel Yisrael. They darkened our eyes, Begzerosehem. They darkened our eyes. So, which gzera? So, the Medrash says, Kisvu al keren hashor, ein lachem chelek belokeso. You should engrave on the horn of an ox. You have no chelek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, that's, don't get me wrong, that's bad. That's not good. All right, but why, you know, that is the thing that's called darkened our eyes. Right, more than that their goals are on Mila, more that their goals are on the women that they have to be defiled, more than, you know, how they defiled the Beis HaMikdash, more than, you know, well, the Gzeras, you know, this particular Gzera, right, you know, engrave on a horn of an ox, Ein lechem chelek b'elokei Yisrael, right, that's called darkening our eyes. That's what needs to be understood. You know, what were the Greeks, what was the statement that they're forcing us to make, and why we really, it was a very harsh statement that we find that's what's called darkened our eyes. That's a choshech. It's like this, to understand a little bit the dialogue that went on between the sun and the moon. I meant the moon regarding it and the sun, how they cannot be two kings under the same crown. That's how they started off, and that's how it's going to be at the end of time, actually. That the V'hoya Earl of Vana Korachama, the Navi says, you know, the moon is going to shine as brightly as the sun. Now, these are called two kingdoms, and that's why they're called two kings. Can't have two kings under the same crown. And that's how the pasuk itself says it. It's a mora gadol lememshelas hayom, v'etz hamora katan lememshelas halayla. The big one reigns by day, right? Governs by day, and the little one governs by night. It's like two leaders, two different governments. What are these two different governments? Same world. The difference is like this. All right, the day is naturally light. Because the sun generates light, and that lights up the day. Right, it's a time we call it naturally light. The moon, they always knew. Right, they always knew that the moon just reflects the light of the sun. The moon doesn't generate light. The moon reflects light. So it reflects light, and therefore, even when the moon was as big as the sun, like it's destined to be, it still wasn't the same. So even though, like the Pasuk says in the future, Laila Kiyom Yair, right, night will shine as brightly as day, it's still not the same. Because one is naturally light and one is illuminated because it reflects light. Because it's reflecting light that's coming from the sun.
So the two Maoros of Dolos were not the same?
They were equally as bright, but they're not. They were not of the same nature. Two different governments. Which became a little bit more easy to see when the moon got shrunk. Because there's like natural light and there's reflected light.
So that second large luminary, which turned out to be the moon,
yes.
Even though it was large, it was reflecting the other one's light.
Yes.
It wasn't generating light at all.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. As far as I know.
They're not made of the same material, they're not made of the same...
They don't have the same function.
That wasn't part of the complaint. The complaint was just...
Ein shnei melachim. Right? Yeah, so he wants the two different governments to be more discernible. Right? But look, as I said, if all 24 hours look equally as bright, right, so what's the difference between me and him? What makes this his kingdom makes it my kingdom? Looks like all, one kingdom. All right, so now we'll make a difference, make a clear delineation.
All right. So did the moon originally have its own light that it claimed it's the same as the sun?
No, it was equally as bright. It was equally as bright. It's bright. Doesn't mean it had the same, its own light. Then it was shrunk. I wasn't there at the time, so I can't tell you what it was like. We are meant to believe that the difference. We're meant to understand, however, it worked out that it was a difference in size. Right, and we'll explain that in a second. But to understand, why the moon was complaining. You don't have two kings under the same crown. There has to be a difference. So Akhar says, Feder, granted, there has to be a difference, so you're going to be the one who gets smaller. Right? But just for to explain the two different kingdoms. Right? So one is natural light, one is reflected light. Correct? But therefore, right, another way of saying it is that one is, one is natural, the other one is artificial. Because, naturally, the night is not supposed to be bright. It's because the moon reflects the light of the sun. So that's why you light up the night. So one is like naturally bright, one is artificially illuminated because, through this reflecting. Right. So say in other words, one is where light naturally is, the other one is like bringing light in by reflecting it. bringing light in by reflecting it.
If they were different to begin with, see, it makes more sense to me if they were really exactly the same, then why do you need two of the same thing? But if they were different to begin with, so why wouldn't the moon feel that he was performing a different function?
Oh, yeah, well, it'll be more clear at the end of time, and then we'll get to that, why it's not going to be a problem in the future. In the future, the moon is going to be as big as the sun, right, whatever that means, right? And the night will shine like the day, but over then it won't be a problem. At the Genesis, it was a problem. I'll explain that. The pshat is like this. That the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, already on the first day of creation, before there was a sun and a moon, right, separated the night and the day. Even before there were celestial bodies, there was already created light itself on the first day, and then Vayavd Elokim, Ben Or Ben Choshech, you know, separated the two halves. And we learned this idea repeatedly in Derech Hashem, right, that there's a cosmic balance of good and evil. And Ramchal wrote this in something that we learned not too many chapters ago, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put, you know, created the day and the night to create a balance between the good and the evil. The evil has to have its foothold in reality to create the world of 50-50 that we live in. So as, you know, as a result of giving the evil its leverage, right, as a result of that, that's what, you know, makes life, everything is compounded of good and evil. Good and evil is in everything. That's why we always have to choose, you know, and be on the guard, because everything's adulterated with evil. And that's why there's never any rest from the work that we have to do, our awareness and the choices that we have to make, always looking for the good and choosing it, and looking for the evil and rejecting it. Right. And that's all, you know, that was all precedented already on the first day of creation. It's going to be a world of good and evil, and that's why the Medrash Rabbah on the Pasuk of the creation of light and darkness, we actually mentioned that Medrash in our Yom Kippur Shir, right, according to Hosea, that the light refers to all the good deeds, and the darkness represents to all the Maaseh HaRashayim. Right, all the Maaseh HaRashayim, right? Because that's where evil has its foothold in reality. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't give evil in a certain foothold in reality, evil wouldn't exist. If God didn't create it, it doesn't exist. So that's why the possibility for evil, the possibility, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do evil, but he creates the possibility of it, so we could be tempted and we could fall into the trap. He has to create it. And that's what nighttime represents. Darkness represents. And that's why you have to wash Nagel Vassar, just because you went through the night, like we learned. It's time when the Koch Satum expand. We've got to, and even when daybreak comes and drives away, still there's residue on the hands. So we have to wash Nagel Vassar and take it off. We learned this all in Derech Hashem. Right? So with that in mind, so what does the moonlight represent when you have that in mind? Upsetting what we would call the natural balance, but in a good way, right? That bringing light to the darkness, that represents that the darkness that there is in the world is is being lessened, lighting it up a little bit. So maybe it's just easier to explain, to go out of order and discuss at the end of time, you know, what it means. You know, we're going to get back to that, right? That, you know, we're going to get back to time when the moon is as big as the sun. It represents a world without any evil anymore. Right? Because, as it were, the foothold of evil in reality, their foothold is the darkness, the choshech. And we'll get back to that. I'm sure I drop a hint. The choshech.
Light during the night. It's actually a chesed to give light during the night.
Yes, but the thing is, okay, so let's just go first. Let's jump ahead, and then we'll work backwards. Jump ahead to end of time. End of time, we talk about the Nevi'im talk about, you know, it's going to be shine like day. Why? For what purpose? No, because it represents that at the end of time, right, at the end of time, evil will be vanquished, and evil will have lost its foothold in reality. So the half of the day that used to belong to evil now shines as brightly as the day. It's been conquered. How was it conquered? Who did that?
We did that.
Correct. Through mitzvahs. That's why ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. The mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are called candles. You don't need a candle by daytime. Like the Gemara itself says, shraga b'tira mayhanya, a candle by day is worthless. You don't need candles. You need candles at night. And ki ner mitzvah. And that's why man has a neshama also. Ner Hashem, nishmas Adam. The neshama that came down into the body is here to light up the darkness of the world. It's a candle. And you do it through mitzvahs, which are also called candles. And that's what it means. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the moon, tzaddikim are called by, you know, also called ketanim. Am Yisrael is also called, you know, I don't think it's mentioned in Gemara, but Am Yisrael is also called ma'at, ki atem ha-ma'at mikol amim, like l'chi ma'at yes atzmeich. Because, you know, what the moon does is what the tzaddikim do. And when the tzaddikim have finished their job of lighting up the world, every generation with its tzaddikim making their contribution to chip away at the darkness, right? So at the end of time, you know, the moon will shine as brightly as the sun. But over there will be a difference, because the sun was always bright, because God made it that way. The moon got there by steigen. And that's why, and that's going to be the difference. This guy got it as a gift from God. This guy got it because he steigt. And it's going to be a very big difference. And it's why it's not going to be two kings under the same crown. Because this guy got it by steiging. That guy got it because God granted it to him. So as it were, you know, it's like we learned to Derech Hashem, you know, for the moon, it's not going to be Nahama to Kisufa. It's not going to be bread of shame. The moon could take special pride in its being as big as the sun because it got there by hard work. But at the original Genesis, it wasn't by hard work. They were both granted their brightness as a gift from God. Because yeah? They were created that way. So the moon says, what's the difference between me and him? I'm called the king, he's called the king, and seemingly there's no difference, the same kingdom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're right. L'chi ma'ati es atzmech. So you may ask, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the get-go create them both big? Very simple. For the reason, the same principle that we said, if God didn't create it, it doesn't exist. If we're meant to have a certain level to steig to, God has to create that level. That level has to be in existence. Right, that goal has to be in existence, and then you shoot for it. When So of course, by the Genesis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially created things with their final perfection, to create the idea, to create the precedent, to create the goal, and then he said, "Okay, now shrinking the moon, now go get there." And it's attainable because you were like that once. So that's why I initially created with the final perfection, just for an instant. Just to have to precedent it, to create the possibility. It's what makes it possible to steig that level, because that level was put into reality. It exists. It's realistic, literally, realistic goal. It's been a part of reality.
So it's a metaphor for us.
Yes, That was exactly that point I was going to get to. And it's also, it's like we learned in Derech Hashem, right? That we had this in the third chapter of the very first section. I know you're reviewing all the time, so you have this on your fingertips, right? So you understand that man's, you know, the Ramchal taught us, man's neshama could purify his body and make him immortal in an instant. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the neshama to mitigate itself, like the moon. And like that, the Ramchal in his Sefer Das Tfunas draws parallels and says they are perfectly parallel concepts. The neshama, we learned this over and over in the book, the neshama has been clamped down to, it had its wings clipped, to go into a body so as it will not convert the body into the spiritual, like it will do by resurrection in an instant. Right. It had itself clamped down, constrained, right? So it should only animate the body and give the body free will. But you know, the neshama, when it's in a body, is susceptible to being tempted by the Yetzer Hara because it was clamped down on. Like the moon was mitigated. It's mamash, yes, like the neshama. The neshama that goes into guf. It's been mitigated like the moon. Right? To not convert the darkness of the body to light in 1 second and not change the world from darkness to light in 1 second, gradually through mitzvahs. Through mitzvahs you unleash that power. So the neshama is a candle and mitzvahs are a candle to light up the darkness of the world. And the one candle only works together with the other candle. The neshama can't do it by its pure innate greatness because that was clamped down on. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially created it great, so the reasons we learned Derech Hashem, to make it easy to get back to that greatness. Same reason why also they teach the child the whole Torah in its mother's womb, to make it easy to get back to that. Same, it's the same concept. And what does it say over there? You know what it says over there? The Lashon Chazal. How they say it when they're teaching the Torah to the child, the whole Torah in the womb, ner doluk al rosho, there's a candle burning on top of it, and he sees me sofo olam vad sofo. You can see from one end of the world to the other, like the oragonus, like the hidden light. The light that was hidden as a result of the mitigation of the moon, that has to, hidden really as a result of keeping the darkness in check. You know, keeping the darkness in existence, I meant to say. You know, the child is exposed to that, and that's called a candle. Because it's going to dispel the darkness. It's going to dispel the darkness of the world. So it's called the halo. Bielo Nero Aroshi. That's the candle that burns on top of the head of the child that learns Kol HaTorah Kula. And with that light, he sees me. Sofo Olam Vad Sofo is the same much we find by the Or HaGonus, the hidden light. That hidden light, when it will be unleashed, it will dispel the darkness of the world. Because that light is hidden, that's why there is darkness. So this is the mission, right, of the Adam. But as we learned in the Ramchal also, he told us in more than one place that only Am Yisrael is called Adam in truth. Right? It's our mission to light up the world, light up the darkness of the world. Now, which means that we're gradually changing reality. There's going to be a certain buildup of this force that over all the generations, that each one made their contribution, and then all those, it'll all add up in one moment, and the world's going to change. And then all the things that it writes, you know, v'gar zev and keves, you know, animals would get along, lo yisal goyo go cheref. It's all a different world. That means, you know, and this we had also in the Derech Hashem over and over and over again. You'll forgive me, but I just want to impress upon you what amazing gift you have, knowing the Derech Hashem. Right. We've learned over and over in the Sefer, the whole, you know, we can explain philosophically why we have the laws of nature that we have. Right. These are the laws that we need for mitzvahs. This is the physics, biology, and chemistry that's necessary for a world that has a balance of good and evil, so man should have his job to do his mitzvahs and tip the scales. That's why. Olam Haba is going to have different physics, biology, and chemistry, because Olam Haba is a world of Kulo Tov and No Ra. And that's why the world's going to change. Right? We have this type of laws of nature purely for one reason. Not because God couldn't do better. Could have done whatever he wants. Because this is the world of mitzvahs. And it's the mitzvahs work and make a difference in this type of world. And that's why we have what we have. And on the day when we don't need mitzvahs anymore because everything will have, all the work will have been done already, it'll be a different world. It's all the laws of nature and even mathematics is all just temporary. It's just for 6,000 years, the whole thing. Because you need just this type of world for mitzvahs. You need this type of world so as it could change. So I'll go just a little bit deeper, that the tzaddikim are called by the, you know, well, called the ketanim, just like the moon, you know, ma'atim. All right, so first of all, that's you know, how do we do it? Where do we get the power from? Well, just like the moon doesn't have its own light. It reflects the light of the sun. We reflect God's light. So it looks like our own light, but it's in deep down it's a reflection. It's a reflection of the light that we got from the Torah. You know what? Brings that out the most, two ideas, one very general and one in particular. The very general one is that's the whole inyan of it, is Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebichsav is word of God that was, he just said it, and the Navi wrote what he was told to write, particularly Moshe Rabbeinu. It just is. Torah Shebaal Peh is, you know, the chidushim that came out as a result of the Torah germinating within us. The light of the Torah passed through our filters, and we come out with our Piskei Halacha. Yeah, when it comes to issues of Torah Shebaal Peh, yeah, everyone knows the famous Gemara. We can even argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, like the famous story with the laws of Ben Horkonos. The Baskel came out, the Lachas like him, Rabbi Shua got up and said, Lo b'shamayim hi. That's the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's our Torah. Yeah, but it's our Torah from him. You know, we're reflecting divine light. And, you know, just like sometimes the curvature of a mirror could put a little spin on the light, you know, if it passes, you know, depending on the thickness of the glass, it could add color to the light. That's what the Torah Shebaal Peh is. It's God's light shining through our vessels. And mitzvahs, there is this amazing thing to observe and to think about. Right? There's not a single mitzvah that you could perform based on Torah Shebichsav alone. Not a single one. There's not enough detail. Even Bris Mila, you know, never says where to cut. There's not a single mitzvah you could do on the basis of the Chumash alone. You know, from the Chumash, you get the spirit of the law, you know, the mussar of the law, but the do, how to actually do it. So the ner mitzvah, so then there's a goyim. The goyim says on the pasuk, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or, ner mitzvah is Torah shebal peh, and Torah or is Torah shebichsav. As we're natural light, God-given light, like the sun, God-given light, natural light, you know, Torah shebichsav, pure word of God. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. There's nothing to, nothing really for us to contribute over there. We can't change the texts or anything. You know, oh, we could say interpretations, that's Torah Shebaal Peh. That's not Torah Shebichsav. Rashi and Chumash is not Torah Shebichsav. Rashi and Chumash is Torah Shebaal Peh. Interpretation, you know, the way it sounds like to us, that's the way it's being reflected in us. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. How we use the Midas Shatoni Dreshes Peh, that's all Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's where Halacha comes from. But that's what Kershaw wanted. I lit up my world already. Where I left my world dark, you will light up those parts of the world. That's the function of having a chosen people on earth. That's our whole thing, to light up the world. And Kershaw says, the parts of the world that I illuminated, I did already. What I didn't illuminate, that's your job to illuminate. So we're bee candles. And that's what the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash represented. The Medrash says, so first of all, it was a Gemara, aside from Medrash, that there was a miracle that the Nera Ma'aravi never went out. And it's a Eidus L'Bayam Shashchina Shara B'Yisrael. It's the sign to all the nations that the divine presence rests in Am Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu dwells on Am Yisrael. And that was, you know, the sign of it was in the menorah. Because the menorah represents, you know, that we are going to give off God's light. That's what the Medrash says in a few different places. An amazing thing. God created light, and yet we give light to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. An amazing thing. He's the one who created light, and he asks us, light candles for me. Because, yes, I left a... Because even though God created all light, he wants us to reflect his light. And that's with the lighting of the menorah, to light up the world. And that's why the Medrash says that Shlomo HaMelech designed the windows of the Beis HaMikdash in a very peculiar way. They were wide. You know, they didn't have, in those days, you know, plain square windows. Their windows were, slanted. They were like cone-shaped, sort of. That the light should be dispersed, you know, so they were like thinner on the outside, wider on the inside, that the light should be dispersed and spread throughout the room. That the but Shlomo HaMelech built the windows of the Beis HaMikdash in the exact opposite. They were thin on the inside and wide on the outside. That means light couldn't come in, because any light that comes in got focused to a single ray. That didn't do you much good, right? But light went out, because the light of the menorah, you know, went through these slits that expanded, and so the Beis HaMikdash gave off light. It didn't take in light. Yes, yes. So we post chalomos atumim, sealed windows. I mean, there are windows, but they windows to give light outside, not to take in light. That, you know, the idea is that the light of the Beis HaMikdash was the light that's supposed to change the world. We don't want natural light. Natural light is the way God, you know, made the world, but it's not the way the world's meant to stay. That way that God made the world is meant to change. God himself wants it to change. And the light of the menorah is the candles. The Ner Mitzvah represents the light of Am Yisrael, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us to reflect his light, to bring the light where there isn't light, so the world should begin to change. So now you can understand, you know, the idea of Rosh Chodesh and why Rosh Chodesh was the first mitzvah Am Yisrael got as a nation, because it sets the tone of what it's all about. That Kodesh Hu says, you know, please bring an atonement for me, you know, because as it were, not that Kodesh Hu feels guilty, but like the Maharal explains, you know, any chisaron is called a chet. Chet, Lashem Chisaron. We had it in the parsha we just read, just two, you know, the parsha, you know, parshas Vayetze. Yaakov tells on Anochi Achateno. If you tell me any sheep's missing, I know I'll take the loss upon myself. I mean, I'll carry the loss, and you can take it from my sheep. And he challenged him. Show me, Anochi Achateno. Right, I'll carry the loss on myself. Chet just means Chisaron. Something's missing. Right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by mitigating the moon, made the world lacking. It's lacking in the way that it's the world that we know, so we're pretty familiar with it. So we've gotten used to it, but you know, it's really lacking relative to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to get to. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Havi like kapora, wash away. Al shemiyati sayareach. Right? And that's what Rosh Chodesh is, you know, the new moon. Celebrating a new moon is not just a pragmatic thing that we have to set, you know, have a calendar for pragmatic reasons. New moon brings new light is coming into the world. It comes in monthly packets. New light that's coming into the world that gradually dispels the darkness of reality. That's what Kiddush HaLevana represents. Being Mekadosh to Chodesh. And by no coincidence, Kiddush HaChodesh is supposed to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, by the Sanhedrin that sits there. And that's why it's the first mitzvah we got as a people. We're being chosen to change the world. And you change the world by lighting up the world where it's dark. That's the change we make to the world. That's our mission as a nation. And that's why the first mitzvah we got was Kiddush HaChodesh, you know. It's a Rosh Chodesh.
And the Greeks understood this, and that's why they. Why exactly yes. Did the Greeks?
Okay, so it's an amazing thing. So I didn't get to that point. I'm going to drive that point home. That means the whole natural world as we know it, this whole thing is just temporary. It's not the pshat, this is the best God could do. All the laws that we have, biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, it's all like we learned at Hashem, because that's what you need for your mitzvahs. And that's the type of world that is not permanent and not going to stay the same. This is the type of world that will react to mitzvahs and change. Their whole thing was to view life as it is, as perfection. And as the best that God could do, and that which was must be. We say the whole thing is artificial, it's going to change. This whole thing is not what is, it's small. Small as in smaller than meant to be. And that's what it means, that tzaddikim are called by you also. They're also called ketanim. Yaakov b'no ha-katan. Why are you calling it small? It is what is. No, it's small. It's not what's supposed to be. It's smaller than what is meant to be. This is not perfection. This is not what's meant to be. This is not immutable truth. They view the laws of nature as immutable truth, and logic has to be absolutely true everywhere. We say all this is just small. I mean, i.e., smaller than real reality. Totally abhorrent to them. Laws of nature are just temporary. It has to grow up. It's called small. I mean, it's yet to grow up. They viewed it all as this is. And it can't change. And we're saying, oh, this is just temporary. And it's this way for the sake of doing mitzvahs. And that's the statement I was saying by calling it katan. And tzaddikim are called katanim. And Am Yisrael is called hamat mikol ha'amim. You know what that means? It's not just numerical. It's a statement about reality itself. It's all katan. It's all ma'at, i.e., and it's destined. It's not fully grown yet, and it'll be fully grown when everyone serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Hashem LeMelech al kol haaretz. They don't want to hear that. The whole point of their philosophy and their science was this is what is and what must be. It's just a matter of appreciating it. No. This is what is for the sake of changing. This is all katan. This is all ma'at. And perhaps this could be another pshat in Rabim Biyad Ma'atim. Those who say this is great, this is big, those who say, no, this is all little. This is all a more. L'chi ma'ati esatzmech. It's a world that has yet to grow up. And it will change. And it is small for the purpose of us doing our Avodas Hashem, and it's going to change. And that's it. We can already understand, based on what we said, why hachoshech zu yavan. They want to keep the darkness where it is. We want to dispel the darkness. Vachosh zu yavan, they want to keep the world the way it is, because they understand that this is what is. This is reality itself, and it can't change, and it's not meant to change. And we say the whole thing's going to change. But it gets deeper. This gets into a special connection women have to Hanukkah and to Rosh Chodesh. What was the biggest setback? You know, we have by Yetzias Mitzrayim, you know, the first and biggest setback that we're still paying for. By Yetzias Mitzrayim, Achor Zelachem, we explain why. Trendsetter. You're going to change the world. That's what the Rosh Chodesh represents. The world is gradually being transmuted, you know, being evolved, for lack of a better word. You know, metamorphosizing. Right? You're going to bring chidu chodesh milashon chadash. Ein chodesh tachas hashemesh. No, nothing new under the sun. But the levana is called chodesh, chadash. Kiddush Lord, let's bring something new to the world. Ein chodesh tachas hashemesh. That's the light that there's been ever since the creation of the world. There's nothing new there. The chadash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, put in our hands. And that's what the moon represents, the chodesh, the light of the moon. It's a chiddush, because it dispels what's naturally dark. And that's what Am Yisrael does. That's what our mitzvahs do. That's all called candles, ner mitzvah, like the menorah. All right? And the big, big setback was chet ha'ego.
What's what?
Chet ha'ego. Because we really, we would have accomplished this at a very accelerated rate. Mashiach would have been long, long, long here, if not for Chet HaEgel. What really threw a whole, serious setback into the whole thing was Chet HaEgel. And the amazingly disturbing thing about it is that it happened so short after Matan Torah, 40, 41 days later, it really hurts. So how can you call yourself, that you're Dovik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You could just easily, just 40 days after seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak at Har Sinai, do the Chet HaEgel. And that's why Chet HaEgel has now caused that, this process of changing the world that could have been accelerated, seriously, very seriously. If I wouldn't have done Chet HaEgel life, Mashiach would have had, a kingdom that would have lasted many millennia instead of how much time he has left. And it's all because of Chet HaEgel. Chazal tell us that, it's Rashi brings in the Chumash that every single tzar Am Yisrael's had is all a little bit of payback for Chet HaEgel, because we'll spread it over all the generations. Serious setback that makes it very much an issue of faith. Because it's very hard to demonstrate that we change the world every time we do mitzvahs, because it's happening so slow. So slow, and so little, and so slow. And that's all because of Chet HaEgel that caused the process to be dampened so much, decelerated so much, that makes an issue of now you really have to believe in what we're saying, because it's very hard to demonstrate, very hard, impossible to demonstrate. And that's what the Yevarim was saying, Kisvu al Keren HaShor. And Lachem Chelak Belokei Yisrael. Right? They're reminding us of Chet HaEgel. that was sticking in our face. Right? Elachem chelak, okay, you have no part. You're not connected to the divine. There's no difference between you guys and us guys. Revarti osa cheta ego, which made it that, even we admit that it made it that way, it's happening so little over such a protracted period, and they're saying just, you should even, that cause you to admit that you're nothing special, if you could do such a terrible thing so shortly after Matan Torah. And that's why it's called, that is called more than anything else, hachoshech. Darkened our eyes, because you know, you remember cheta ego, and the effect that it has on us and on the cosmos, that's why it's happening so little and so slow that a person could almost give up hope. Right? And that's where emuna comes in, interestingly enough. Because it's hard to demonstrate. And that's where you need emuna. And that was supposed to say, ve'emunascha balelos. You need emuna to cope with the dark times.
That's why women, because women didn't participate.
Exactly,
ever.
Right.
And
so
that's why it's
they
also,
got Rosh Chodesh, and that's women have more emuna than men.
And that's why women have to light the menorah on Hanukkah.
Yes, that's correct. You got. I'm done. She finished up the shiur. Right. So, that's the. Yes, exactly. That's the point. The women. Did not succumb by cheta ego, because they had emuna. Am Yisrael fell into confusion, and that's when you need emuna for the darkness, for the confusing times. On a deep level, emuna goes. Emuna always applies. Das is only as far as how illuminated you are at the moment. Emuna always applies. It's for the dark times, and emuna goes. Belisof. Emunascha baleos, and women who we know are better at emuna than men. We spoke about this once at the very beginning of Derech Hashem. I said Yamin Vedev, a Jew has to both believe and know. We explained women have a better, more adept at emuna. That's why they're more faithful than men are. We spoke about this at great length. I don't have to recap that now. Get the recordings from the beginning of the series. So women did not succumb, and that's why they got Rosh Chodesh. Right? Right, because cheda ego, is what made this process take now. How long it's going to take, and how long it's been taking. It's dampened the whole process to the point that anyone could easily deny it because it happened so little, so slow. And that's what the Greeks were sticking in our face. The women, the women who didn't succumb, they got Rosh Chodesh as a chag. They hung tight, and so for them, they're more in touch with the reality. How reality is changing with every new month. The new Chodesh, there's Chadash, there's Or Chodesh. That's the Or Chodesh Al Tzion Toyer, another package of Or Chodesh, which Al Tzion Toyer, eventually, B'mehru B'yameinu, that new light that will shine. So the women were in touch with it, so they could feel Rosh Chodesh more than men, so they got it as a Chag. And that's why the light of the menorah, that's like the light of Rosh Chodesh, women aren't allowed to do malacha while the candles are burning. You know that halacha. It's not for some reason. It's like the hardest mitzvah for women to keep. I was talking about, got to be on the phone. It's like, sit still, half an hour. Take a sefer. It's a sitra achra fighting back, right? You're right. It's probably because it's dinner time. It's just sit still, half an hour, but that's it. But that, you have to stand a parallel. They don't do malacha during the time that the Hanukkah candles are burning, just like they don't do Mulach and Rosh Chodesh. The two concepts are parallel. Same idea. Parallel concepts. They're special emuna that Am Yisrael had a special destiny, to change the world, and they didn't succumb to Cheta Ego, which was to try to repackage Judaism to be similar to paganism, so it should be more relatable. That's what it was about, and they didn't succumb to that. And then just like they don't do mulacha on Rosh Chodesh, they also don't do mulacha while the candles are burning. It's a parallel concept. The light of the Hanukkah candles is parallel. It's a parallel idea. The light of the candle is the light of the moon, the light that is there to dispel the darkness and change the world. And that's what the Greeks they understood it. That's what the significance that we attach to Rosh Chodesh, and that's why they abolished it. Now, of course, we should help, you know, the light of the menorah should accelerate the process. Or Chodesh al Tzion Toyer v'niske kulanu me'ira l'oro. Amen.
Men aren't allowed.